Good morning, everyone. I don't know the title on this one. Well, it could be restoration. It could be repentance. It could be breaking and restoring relationships. It all ties together one way or another. Yeah. And we've often said the words, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Yeah, the Lord's Prayer. Said it at various religious occasions. Chances are you're going to say it, you know, in some formal setting. They usually, you know, recite the Lord's Prayer. And we say it, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Probably not thinking too much about it often. But it's quite important words, because it's "forgive us," and if there's a little sort of "as we forgive those who sin against us." So if the forgiveness we want from God is as good as we give to others, how about that? It's a challenge to our forgiveness. Anyway, so "forgive us our sins," or "our trespasses," depending on which version you think. So I thought about sin, trespass. Going somewhere you're not supposed to go. Meddling in someone else's business. Actually, when I looked these up, I thought it was an interesting one. Meddling in someone's business and making it your own. Looking at trespass. That's trespass. Making someone else's business your own. So you're meddling in there, trying to make it your own business. And sometimes that's what comes under trespass. Unlawful, unwarranted claim over something that's not yours. So you see something, you take it. You know, and these are just some of the ones I looked at. And sin, and I'm going to add in there, disobedience to God. And I had looked up, you know, these things that this is what I think I look like, but this is what I really look like. I had looked up a few, but I thought I'm going to have too much sort of stuff going. And sometimes, before God, we see ourselves very differently to how He sees us. For good, sometimes we see ourselves, we down ourselves too much. But other times, a lot of people, let's say in the world, they think they're all right before God. They, you know, "Well, I haven't done much." You know, if I say to them, they say, "Well, I'm a good person." So they're these people that say, "This is what I think I look like." And then really, this is what you really look like, yeah? And I've got a little thing to do here. You've seen this before, but we can do this again and again. So, there's our... I've got a few cups here. And... Well, I can hold them up to do my demonstrations, perhaps. And our lives. I'll hold them up in a sec. You know, let's just say I'm going to give you a drink. This is what we offer to God, yeah? Our lives. Let's hope I don't spill this on the stage. I'll be in big trouble. Right? That's what we offer to God, our lives, yeah? Everybody thinks, "Oh, yeah." And I've got some bits and pieces. So some of us might say, "Yeah, I'm going to offer a bit of colour." Oh, yeah. Bit of colour in my life. Well, that's not mixing that well, is it? I don't know what that is. You're looking very confused, cook. "Well, I'm going to give you a drink now. You can have this." "Yeah, no thanks. That's what God thinks. No thanks." That's what people say. I'll give you my life. Some people. Not necessarily in here. But in the world, we say, "I'm going to give a bit of colour to God." Now, would you drink this? You might if you're desperate, wouldn't you? Exactly. So this is... it's not that bad. But we might think, you know, do you? But it's actually probably not too bad. But you don't like the look of that, do you? what if I offered you this one? And I said, let me just stir it for you. I haven't got a spoon. That looks pretty good, doesn't it? Anyone want that one? Pass on that one. This looks clean. That looks quite clean, that one. Why wouldn't you drink that one? Yeah. See, we think that we might be clean before God. I've only got a little bit of sin in my life. I don't see any of you charging at me for a drink of water. See, that's what God, that's the standard that God has. This is perfection. And we just, we can offer, I'm pretty good. Compared to perhaps this one, I don't look too bad. What about this one? Oh, went out especially for this one. And add a bit of earth to mine. And we'll add some, make it into mineral water. Anyone want a bit of mineral water? Actually, I dug that out of the garden this morning. Anyone cope with that one? Not really. It's just a bit of dirt in there. Yeah, it looks still quite clear, though. Not drinking it? Anyway, perhaps I've done enough. I've got a fly in the other one. Put a fly in it. Does anyone want to drink it? But the point being, sometimes we think we're clean and we think we don't need God. But God says, you're not clean in my books. And but maybe you go out shopping and you see a nice ornate cap. You think, oh, that's nice, I love that. Or something, nice little antique or something. Pick it up. Oh, it's got a crack in it. You going to buy it? Probably not. Just a little crack, chip in the on the rim. You think, no, I won't go have that. It's only a small chip though. And that's what we offer to God in ourselves. We say, God, I'm good enough. But God says, you know, we're not. And that sin that's in all of us, whether we think we're good or mucky, that separates us. That separates, brings separation from God. Just like if we do something to somebody, we can bring separation when they say, I'm not talking to you anymore. Don't know if any of you have ever come across, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not speaking to you. I'm da da da. That's the separation of sin. It can cause us not to have a relationship with someone. Separation. Sin brings separation from God. It can bring separation from friends when they say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. And as I was thinking and looking into all this, when we are found out, or if we have a conscience, what are the things we might feel or go through with sin? Guilt? Shame? Hang on, let me have a look at my list. Guilt, where's guilt? I don't know if I put guilt on there. Anything else? Better write guilt in. Fear? Do we have fear? Get found out? What about feeling sorry? Do you think you might feel sorry? Might you feel sorry for yourself? Remorse? Shame? What about humility? You've been found out. Whatever it is. You can think about a scenario where you got caught out. Whatever. You know. Or perhaps, yeah. What about indignant? Could we feel indignant? You've been found out. Caught out. What about pride? We shift the blame. I'm going to shift the blame. It was because so and so. So we don't want to take any blame. So we're going to shift the blame to someone. Or we accuse someone else because we're shifting it. Separation. I said that. Regret. Regret for doing it or regret for getting caught. And if we go right back to Adam and Eve, they had done something they were told not to do. And they heard God walking in the garden and they hid. And God says, where are you? And Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. So when I want you to think about the sort of scenarios that going on, because now Adam and Eve got found out, and suddenly they got caught. So they were afraid, because they were naked. They hid, because they didn't want to be seen. There was shame. And what does the man do? Well, here we go. Here's some of the scenarios. The woman, now this is shifting the blame here. Look at this. The woman you put here with me. So who is he blaming here? Well, he's blaming God and the woman. It's not his fault. It's the woman and God's fault that he sinned. This man shifts the blame straight away to the woman and to God. Well, if you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't have sinned. So that's God's fault. And it's the woman's fault. That's what the man does. She gave me some of the fruit and I ate it. And then what does the woman do? Well, she says, oh, the serpent deceived me. She shifts the blame too. And I ate. So there's a lot of blame shifting goes on straight away with these two scenarios. And that's what can happen. So would you say they were of a repentant spirit when they got caught? So repentant means like a change of direction or a change of thinking. So you can have your mind change. And so we're going to show a clip up here. So this is from John 8. And we're going to go 1 to about 11. So you can follow if you want. I used this clip because you know when we were encouraging people to read the Bible, this is word for word the book of John. So you could actually follow the word for word this book. But you could watch it. So it's visual. For some people they're not so keen on visual because it's not how they picture it in their head. But actually, if you want to get through some of the books of the Bible, I've got John, I've got Matthew, and I've got Acts. So you can watch it all and get it in your head. So I kind of used it for that reason as much as any. But in that story there, the woman caught, what did the woman go through? You saw she was bought. And it's interesting, actually, because in this story, she's bought there. There's no man, interestingly. You didn't see the man who she was caught in adultery with, just the woman. So what's going on there? But how did she feel? You saw her with all the people there ready to stone her. What did she feel at that point? Fear? Humiliation? Hopelessness? Shame? Perhaps? I don't know. These are some of the things that she got caught there. What was that one? Embarrassment. Yeah, these are the things that's gone on with her. She's brought before all these men, particularly, and they are thinking, you know, what's going to happen here? And she's kind of on her own, isolated there. Interestingly, in this one, Jesus writes in the sand, doesn't he? I think he wrote the commandments. But he doesn't say that. But that's how I think. It just says he drew in the sand. So I don't know. Because I think... the oldest judged themselves and thought, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They examined themselves at that point and thought, who are we to judge? So anyway, but what does Jesus then, he doesn't condemn the lady. It's funny actually, because I was thinking about this. In a sense, has she repented of her sin before him? At that point, in a way, she doesn't do anything, does she? And he doesn't condemn her. What I think is Jesus looks into her life and sees what's got her to this place, seeing all the abuse that she's received as she's grown up. seen the men that's treated her badly. That's what I think Jesus can see. He sees the journey that's brought her to the place that she's in, and he sees that, and he sees the journey, and he says, well, I don't condemn you either. I understand why you are where you are. I think that's just Dave speaking there, because it doesn't say that in the Bible. But he says, I don't condemn you either. But what does he say at the end? This is the redemption, the repentance bit. The repentance bit comes at the end. Don't do it again. Don't sin anymore. So now she has to live that life of repentance. So she didn't have to repent up until then. She meets with Jesus, and repentance then is part of a condition that he says to her. And he says, change your thinking now. You've got a new start right now. Your life has been saved. I don't condemn you. From now, change your direction. So he puts that in at the end. There is at the end of it. And that's what I see in that story. And it you know, not everything's always cut and dried as it is. But I thought, yes, Jesus says, don't sin anymore. Don't do that again. Don't get caught up in that lifestyle. Let's make a new start from here. So in a way, that's the repentance part. That's the change of thinking. Now she's got to start fresh. He gives her a fresh start. From all the mess of the past, Jesus says, start again. They're not going to judge you anymore. Off you go. And then we got another one here. So I'm going to look at Peter. Jesus said to Peter, where I am going now, you cannot follow. But you will follow later. See, Jesus was talking about his own death. And Peter's all like gung-ho. I'll follow you. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. He didn't quite say that, but that's what he's basically saying. Where you go, I'm going, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. Peter says he will lay down his life for Jesus. That's what Peter says. Peter says it. And Jesus looks at him and goes, will you? Will you? Will you lay down your life for me? And he goes, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. There's a come down, isn't it? I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. I'll follow you. I'll lay my life down for you. Do you know you'll deny me 3 times before the cock crows? Poof, that's a... Are you kidding me? I'm going to watch another little... That's the first part. I'm going to watch another bit of that. So you're getting the Bible visual tonight, this morning. But in that, you see how easy it can be to disown Jesus. Just someone might say something to you and you don't own up, or you don't speak. And Peter there gets drawn into the whole situation. He's going along, he's wanting to see what's going on. And then all of a sudden, he's asked, and he's like, oh, why do you think, we'll just bounce that out. Why do you think he denied Jesus in that situation? That sort of, yeah, fear, scared. Anything else? That's probably the main one, isn't it? Isolated, perhaps. Felt a bit on his own. Self-protection. You know, you can think of the scenarios that we might do the same thing. You know, that we might deny him. Do you know what it says? If you deny me, he will deny us. So, you know, is there any hope for Peter? Well, we know, don't we? But we'll watch the next bit now. I'm just picking out bits. So, again, it's straight out of the Bible. It's kind of word for word, so you can follow it. What does Peter go through? So he denies him, doesn't he? And the cock crows, and then he's feeling like rubbish, isn't he? Oh, I've really let him down. So much for my words that I was going to follow him to the ends of the earth. And then a little bit of time's gone on, and then we see Jesus feeding them and restoring Peter. And why 3 times? Well, he denied him 3 times. We could say it was one for one, you know, that he just sort of said that to him. was a challenge to Peter, wasn't it? Peter found it uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable when Jesus asked him. Sometimes repentance and forgiveness is an uncomfortable place. And when I watched it, I thought it was a place of confession there, because he made Peter confess his love for him. And so sometimes there's a place where we have to confess our position. Do you love me? Do you love God? And he was restoring that relationship. Do you really love me? And the challenge also was put out to Peter that you did say you would follow me, and I'll hold you to that as well. And he did follow him, and he did have a bad death in the end. But that wasn't a punishment. That was just part of what he was called to. And he was saying, you want to follow me, it can cost you. It's not necessarily going to be, you know, an easy life. And the cost of following, Jesus just said to him, follow me and look after my sheep. That was his disciples and all the church. Watch over them. You know what you've been through. But you know there's forgiveness. And what I've given you, show that grace and mercy to other people. And Peter goes through quite a sort of roller coaster there, doesn't he? I've got a little bit of time. There was just one more, because I'm going to go to a different story now. One last little clip on a different scenario. And now we've got Matthew, a different book, a different Jesus. Sorry, it's because of the film. It's a different disc. So you might not like this Jesus as much, or you might prefer him. I don't know, because it's all acted out, yeah? So Matthew 27. Matthew 26, I think, is 1 to 16, isn't it? Sorry. Why do you think, when I look at that story, why do you think Judas at that point went and went to the to betray him? Angry? That's what I think he was. Why was he angry? Yeah. Because he used to help himself to the treasury. And he saw this perfume that was poured out on Jesus, and he wanted to get his hands on that money, and he was so annoyed that it was wasted on Jesus, because there's a pile of money that he could have helped himself to. Satan rode in on the back of that, and he went, that's how we see it, that he went in anger, I'll get my own back on him. Oh, why did he do that? And because he had ticked them off as well for sort of this beautiful thing that she had done. And then we've just got one last one, and we're almost home and dry. So Matthew 27, 1 to 10. Interesting one there, because Judas realizes he's done wrong. Is he forgiven? Some people might think he is. What does Jesus say about him? While I was with them, he's praying. Jesus is praying to the Father before he's taken captive. And he goes, while I was with them, I protected them. He's talking about the disciples. And kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture may be fulfilled. So now do you think he's saved? Yeah. Well, where I see the difference is, he tried to resolve the situation in his despair himself. And his resolving of the situation is to take his own life. But that isn't the way we would say you. What would we say? If you want to restore a relationship, you want to go to the one who you've broken it with. He needed to meet with Jesus, like Peter did. Peter was restored. Judas needed to be restored to Jesus. And if Judas hadn't acted impulsively, in his depression, and he'd only waited a few more days, he could have met with the Lord and sorted it all out. But he didn't meet with the Lord and sort it all out. He decided to do it his way. So he got himself here, and he added a bit of fairy liquid and made it, but he was still unpresentable. So feeling sorry, or sorry for yourself, feeling depressed isn't get forgiveness, is it? Feeling down, not unless you take it to the one who can give forgiveness. I just put that in at the end because we need to come to Jesus for forgiveness. When we're down, we need to talk to him and bring our difficulties and our upsets to Jesus. He's the one who brings forgiveness. Not just feeling sorry for yourself, not feeling depressed, not feeling down. That's just going nowhere. That's leading to health issues. But if we take it to Jesus, there's healing in Jesus. And I'll finish on that. But there's some DVDs there that if you want to sort of go through them and follow the stories, you're welcome to borrow them. I'll pray anyway. Father, we thank you for your great forgiveness. We thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your patience. And Lord, help us to continuously come to you, just in a relationship and when we have let you down, Lord. Help us to remember to call on you, to speak to you, to open ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.